So today's scripture reading comes from 1 Samuel 27, 1-6. But David thought to himself, "One of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand." So David and the 600 men with him left and went over to Achish, son of Maok, king of Gath. David and his men settled in Gath with Achish. Each man had his family with him, and David had his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, the widow of Nabal. When Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he no longer searched for him. Then David said to Achish, "If I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be assigned to me in one of the country towns, that I may live there. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you?" So on that day, Achish gave him to Ziklag, and it has belonged to the kings of Judah ever since. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. In the study, of the physics of flow, there's a law called the least resistance. So when water flow, it goes to the area with the least resistance. So if the resistance is the same, the water will go to the shortest distance. So I was hoping that when we block off the two sides of the pills, everybody will come through the center aisle, they all sit at the center. But it seems like this is not always work. People just go back to their own seat, sit at the far end. So all our seats are business class seats. That means that even when you sit down, there's so much leg room that others can actually walk by you to sit to the center. So if you sit at the center, it'd be really encouraging for the speaker. So yesterday, we have started Saturday afternoon service at 4:30. Yesterday was the second week. We have less than 50 people, but somehow we were able to make them all sit at the center. And it's quite different experience. But what we did is we bought off the two edges. They cannot even get to the other side. So maybe we'll try that next week. Last time, I spoke on immigration, about Canada is a country of immigration. We, most of us or our parents came from another country. Most of the time it's Asia. So we came here look for a better place for ourselves, for our children, better environment. More stable politically, economically better. So we move to a better place. And today we look at David. David is also moving to another country, another place. Maybe I should say to another place. He's also like us, moving to a, I would not say a better place, but for him it's a safer place. So David is also migrating to another place. Unfortunately, he's moving in the opposite direction. He's moving away from his people, the people of God. The Israelites were chosen by God to be his special people. That's why they always are so proud of themselves, being called the people of God. But David is doing the opposite. He's moving to live among the Philistines. It's the people that exactly he's trying to get away, to stay away, because the Philistines is not a people of God. They worship idols. Verse 1 of chapter 27. Then David said to himself, "Now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. Persecution of Saul finally taking a toll on David mentally. Even physically, he has not been hurt. So far, Saul wasn't able even to touch him. It's safe, but mentally, I think we can understand David. Mentally, he's stressed out. For years, he has to run for his life. He's being chased by Saul and his soldiers, elite soldiers. And he basically, at the end of the day, he is tired. He's weary. He's stressed out. It's almost a mental breakdown. Now, I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. Unfortunately, a lot of time, it is when we do not trust God that disasters will follow. Verse 1 is also the start of David's. Maybe it's not the darkest day of his life, but it's a darker day. He decided to move away from God's chosen people. God wants the Israel to be a people of God, to stand above all the other nations, to be only consecrated to the Lord. But David is going the opposite direction because he's burned out, he's stressed out. But what's more important, he lost faith in the God that he trusted. All these previous chapters that we study, actually, David is almost perfect, isn't it? The last time we talked about David, you know, how he spared Saul's life, even when he has a chance to kill his enemy, he did not. He's so kind, generous, almost Christ-like, isn't it? Almost perfect. Until we get to chapter 27. And it all started with his mind. His mind starting to break down mentally. Now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. But Saul has not touched him, hurt him. But mentally, he is stressed out. There's nothing better for me than to escape into the hands of the Philistines. Philistines, this is the people exactly. God want them to stay away because these people worship idols. They are not godly people. Saul then will despair of searching for me anymore in all the territory of Israel, and I will escape from his hand. He despair, discouraged, is depressed, and he no longer trusted God. So David arose and crossed over. He and the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Machon, the king of Gath. He went to the king of Gath, one of the leaders of the Philistines. How sad this is. This is exactly the opposite. When we study Exodus, God wants them to leave Egypt so that they can build a nation to worship God. But he's going the opposite direction. Now it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he no longer searched for him. But it worked. Saul gave up because I can think of several reasons. Saul is probably scared of the Philistines. And also for Saul is probably thinking that now David is no threat to my throne anymore. He is in the land far away. He's in the hands of the enemy. They may even kill David. But David killed one of their best soldiers, the Goliath. So they may even kill David for me. And also Saul dare not to go inside the Philistines. It may appear that David made the right decision, but spiritually, he is in big trouble. He went and lived among the enemies, a group of people who worship the idols. But today, aren't we all living in people who do not believe in God? When we leave the church, after this worship, after Sunday school, the Sunday school at the, well, after the worship, after Sunday school, we all went back to our school workplace. It is a place that they do not believe in our God. It's the exact the opposite. They worship other things, idols. But we all know that when we go back to our workplace, our job is not to conform to this world, but to transform the community. We are the light and the salt of our community. After we left this place, we do not go back there and become just one of them and live their style of life. We are supposed to shine in this darkness. We are not supposed to conform. We are supposed to transform. But it is not as easy as you think, isn't it? So there's a story about Bill and Hillary Clinton. So one day they're on vacation, so they're driving by this beautiful countryside. And then they decided to go to some small little town. And then they need to stop for gas. So they pull into this tiny gas station. And a man, the gas station attendant, came out. And then Hillary looked up and recognized this man. And she just shouted at this man and said, "Hi, Charlie." So she went out of the car, went out and gave this man a big hug. So Bill just sat in the car there and said, "What's going on here?" And then they talked for an hour. And then after they finished, Hillary gave this guy another big hug. And then she came back into the car. So Bill asked Hillary, "So who's the guy?" It seems to be so friendly. "Oh, that was Charlie. He dated me for a long time, and he almost got married." And then Bill said, "See, just think, if you had married that man, today you would be the wife of a gas station attendant." So Hillary said, "No, if I marry that man, he will be the president of the United States." So who is transforming who? Who has the bigger influence? When we go back to the world after Sunday school, are we acting like the rest of the world? Or we go back there to transform them? Who is transforming whom? Who has the bigger influence? And obviously, David lost in this battle. He went to Achish, the leader of Philistines. "If now I have found favor in your sight, let them give me a place in one of the cities in the country that I may live there. For why should your servant live in the royal city with you?" He's very smart. He wants to stay away from the king. So in case the king changes his mind and says, "Okay, let's just kill David and get over with." He's still from our enemies. So he's very smart. But also, there's a reason we'll study it. We'll read later on. So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. So he lived in this place for 1 year and 4 months in verse 7. So actually, he's starting to settle down there, just like when we came to Canada. So at first, we do not feel comfortable. We feel this is a strange land. But yet, slowly, he settled down. He's feeling comfortable. He's becoming like one of them. And he started doing some horrible things. Verse 8. "Now David and his men went up and raided the Gezerites and the Zizites and the Amalekites, for they were the inhabitants of the land from ancient times, as you come to shore even as far as the land of Egypt." He's starting acting like the Philistines. He go and raid even all those, these are the enemies of Israel. David attacked the land and did not leave a man or a woman alive. And he took away the sheep, the cattle, the donkeys, the camels, and the clothing. Then he returned and came to Achish. He killed everybody. Did not leave anyone alive. Why? Why did he do that? Well, now Achish asks, where have you made a raid today? Where did you go to make your living? And David said, against the Negev of Judah, I actually went and killed my own people. But that Judah are the enemies of the Philistines. So he lied to Achish. I went there to kill my people, your enemies. I'm helping you. But actually, he is not. That's why he killed everybody in those religious towns, so that no one can tell Achish the truth. He become a liar. How awful, how terrible, how low can you get? David did not leave a man or a woman alive to bring to God, saying, otherwise they will tell the truth about us. Instead of David going there to convert them, to have their influence as a godly people, an anointed king by Samuel, instead of becoming like one of them, even worse. It's even worse. He's being a traitor, isn't it? He's lying. He's lying to both sides. When we return back to our workplace, our schools, are we like David? We're living two different lives. When we face our friends outside the church, we speak one language. When we come back to church, we speak another spiritual language. This is what David is doing. When we read this, I feel sad. Don't you all feel sad? And Achish actually believed that David. This guy is not very smart, obviously. He actually believed that David. You have surely made himself odious among his people. Therefore, he will become my servants forever. So he thought that now that David killing his own people, he will never be able to return. So he will always be my servant. He will always be serving me. It all started with David's heart. Verse 1. We go back to verse 1. When David said to himself, now I will perish one day, when he started thinking, focusing on himself rather than trusting the Lord. When I will perish, there's nothing better for me than to escape. Saul will despair of searching for me. He will not search for me, and I will escape. So I highlight that. All these words, I, me. Once our focus is on us, not on God, like what David is doing here, that's when we are falling away from him. That's when we are in trouble. Chapter 27 is a chapter that there's no mention of God. If you read it carefully, the entire chapter 27 of 1 Samuel, there's no mention of God, Jehovah. It's unlike all the previous chapters. Whenever David wants to even go and kill the Philistines, he even asks God, should I go? How do I go? He asks God everything, just like a little kid. If you read chapter 23, David is just like a little boy coming to his father. Should I do this? Should I go here? He asked God everything. But in chapter 27, there isn't a single word of his Lord God. So that's why the title of my sermon this morning, the Godless Chapter. David, overcome by the fear, depression, despair. He thinks that now he can no longer rely on God. Even Paul has not touched him. He was not hurt, even though he was always running, but he was not hurt. But yet, slowly, he did not trust God. I need to look after myself. And once we have this thinking, I need to look after myself. God is too busy now. No, he has looked after so many people on earth. I better take care of myself. I better go and find a way to be safe. Once we started thinking, relying on ourselves, we'll be like David. Disasters come when we do not trust God. Is there a chapter in your life that is godless? If you look back, maybe even today, maybe you are sitting here. David was still a godly man in the sense he still belongs, his heart still belongs to God, but he relies on himself now. You still come to church. You still study the Bible, still go to fellowships, but it's God outside your heart. You just come here as a routine. Do you still trust God? Is there a page of your life when you look back, think back, or even today, this moment, there's a page before God, a godless chapter, a godless page. Now the big challenge comes now. Now it came about in those days that the Philistines gathered their army, armed the camps for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Know assured that you will go out with me in the camp, you and your men." Now they're going to go to a major battle with the Israelites. So they asked David to come along. Now this is the moment of truth now. Now he can no longer lie to the Philistines. He has to go. And David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." Isn't this sad? David had totally lost himself now. He is actually all prepared to go, to follow the Philistines, to kill his own people. And if he did that, there's a point of no return, isn't it? The Bible will be totally written. Will be totally different from the one we have today. David will become a sinner, a traitor, a failure of Israel. But David was prepared to do that. Isn't this scary? God warned them many times when they served their own gods according to the custom of the nations from among whom they had been carried away into exile. God had warned the Israel people over and over again, when you go into these other nations, other people, be careful. You'll be following their customs. You'll be following their belief. And this is exactly what happened to David. Now, this is a moment of truth. And David was prepared, actually, to go and help the Philistines to kill his people. Now he can no longer hide his lies. But God did not give up on David. God still believed in David. And at the last moment, and if you go on with the scripture, you'll know that the other generals of the Philistines, they refuse to let David go, come with them, because they do not trust that. They're smarter than Achish. Achish actually fully believed in David. He just asked him to come along, help me to kill your people. Right? David said, "Yeah, I will come along." But the other general said, "No, no way we'll let this guy to come with us. We don't trust him. What if he turn around and start killing us?" No. So they won't let them go. And this is God's final rescue at the last moment. So he cannot go. And David, look at David. how poor this guy is. And David said to Achish, but what have I done? And what have you found in your servant from the day when I came before you to this day, that I may not go and fight against the enemies? The enemies, that's his own people, of my lord the king. He's calling Achish his lord the king. Our hearts are broken when we read this, isn't it? This is the king, the future king that's anointed by God. He doesn't sound like a great leader for Israel to me, isn't it? No way he can be a spiritual leader. But that's how low you could get when you stray away from God. But God did not give him up. At the last moment, God stopped this. You cannot go. And it's for the Philistines. They won't let him go. And David was actually not very happy that he could not go. His problem started when he has doubt on God, that God cannot protect him. He has to take things into his own hands. His problem started when he no longer seek the advice direction of the Lord, of his Lord. Like in all the previous chapter in the First Samuel, David always come to ask for direction from God. What should I do? What should I do? His problem started when he conformed to the idol worship people. So we have to be careful today. We may not realize when we return back to our workplace, our school, the world is trying to conform us to them. And very often we did that without knowing, just like David. I'm sure he did not know at that moment. He lost himself. And this was not something that happened overnight. David lived among the Philistines for over a year. It's slowly, slowly he changed it. But God called him back. God stopped him. Through the Israelites, they won't let him come with them. And then the moment of God's awakening came. A few days later, they have to walk back because they won't let them go. So they have to walk back to their little place, Ziklag. That took them 3 days to walk back. So when we walk back there, or maybe on horses, so. Chapter 30. Then it happened when David and his men came home, their home, temporary home, Ziklag. On the third day, it took them 3 days to get back. That the Amalekites had made a raid on his place, his home. And they overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. They took the women. Oh, what happened? Okay. I lost. They took their wives or the women, the children, without killing anyone. Interesting. Without killing anyone. So we can see there's God's hands in this. It is a lesson for David. Without killing anyone. So no one was killed in this way. But they all got carried away by the Amalekites. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and the sons and the daughters had been taken captive. Moreover, David was greatly distressed. Now, this is worse than before, worse than being chased by Saul. He lost everything, his family, his treasures, camels, donkeys, everything. He lost everything. Not only he lost everything, because the people spoke of stoning him, even his bodyguards, the 600 men who were following him, protecting him, they were prepared to kill David. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his son and his daughters. So this is the lowest point of David's life. I can say this. His followers, his faithful supporters, even they want to stone him to death. And he lost everything. Do we have moments in our life we feel like David at this time, that we have lost everything? Everything seems to be not working in our life. We feel so despair, sad. And where is God? Maybe because God wants to wake you up, want to call you back at the lowest point of your life. And at this time, we see God came back to David's life. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. At the lowest point of David's life, God woke him up. Now, he has no one else to turn to, not even himself. He's at a total loss. Only at this point, he looked up to God. And David strengthened. He found strength in the Lord. He looked up and find strength in him. Again. But I hope that we don't have to come to this stage like David. We don't have to come to this low point in our life before we turn back to God and find strength in Him. Do not let the world conform us. We're supposed to go out there and transform this world. It's okay for us to, we have to live in this world which does not belong to God. But our job is to transform. We are not of the world, as so even as I am not of the world. We do not belong to this world, but we are to live in this world. We are to transform this world. These are called TV trees. You can find them in the Caribbean islands. The characteristic of these trees is they all pointing, leaning towards in one direction, southwest. Because the wind on these islands, they all blow from the east. So over the years, all these TV trees, they all lean that towards in one direction. All of them is very interesting sight when you look at them, because they all conform to the direction of the wind. We are in this world, but we do not conform to this world. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Like David, there are times we have to live among the Philistines. But that's okay. But let's not be transformed, conformed by this world. Our job is to be the light and the salt. Otherwise, God will give us great lessons to wake us up. Let us not wait until that day like what David did. Let's trust the Lord. Let's ask for His direction. Let's walk in His will. Let's be the light and the salt of this world. Let's pray. Father, I want to entrust each one of us into your hands. We have to live in this world. And this world trying to change us, trying to make us to conform to it. But help us to be the light and the salt. And help us to rely on you always. Not just inside the church, but in our workplace, in our school, that we always trust you, and we always ask for your directions, guidance, so that we can transform our community, so that our mind can be renewed all the time, and so that we can be acceptable to you. Thus, we will our life. Is there a chapter in our life that is godless, that you are not in control? We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.